Yes, it's that time of the week where we talk all things pets. And with me today is Dr. Fiona Giblin. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Amanda. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. No Cheryl today. She's slightly under the weather.
Poor Cheryl. If you're listening.
Yes. Doing the right thing and staying away so we all don't get it. So, yeah, get well soon, Cheryl. Now, today you want to talk about diabetes for pets?
Yeah. Look, Amanda, a few weeks ago we had a client who called up and made a request if we could talk about diabetes. So I thought that would be the theme of today. So I've got some information for our listeners, and also if any listeners have any questions around diabetes or any pet-related question, I'd love to answer it.
Well, I have a pet-related question and I'll ask you that very shortly.
Very good. Sounds good.
I'll keep everybody in suspense. In the meantime, I have a question.
Absolutely.
So a friend of mine, she's having trouble with the neighbourhood cats. Mm-hmm. They keep coming into her yard and setting off her sensor light at night. And she wants to know, do you have any kind of deterrent ideas for that? I suggested maybe orange peel through the garden because I believe that cats don't like citrus. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. They're not a big fan of any really strong odours at all. But citrus is one that sort of is often tagged with being a deterrent. Mm-hmm. It's tricky. You can't really keep a cat out of your yard unless you cat-proof it. As we talked about, I guess the option is turning off the sensor light, but that defeats the purpose of having a sensor light. So certainly, you know, citrus vinegar is another one that she could try.
What would she do with the vinegar?
Oh, I think like sort of make it up into a spray bottle and then spray around because they don't like the smell of it.
Okay. I thought you were thinking spray the cat.
So sort of some strong smelling citrus, vinegar is another one. You can get sort of spray deterrents from like Bunnings and that sort of thing. I just couldn't comment on whether they're effective or not. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then one that I reckon would work a treat is actually that you can get sensor activated sprinklers.
Right.
Which is obviously causing no harm to the cat at all because it's just water. And because it's motion activated exactly the same as the sensor light, then it's going to sense movement, turn on the sprinkler. Cat runs away, sprinkler turns off.
Yes.
So, again, I haven't tried it, but that's my personal preference.
Unless the cat likes water and then just sits under it and has a shower.
Yes. However, odds are I suspect that won't be the case.
There goes the water bill.
Yes. Hopefully the cat learns in a very brief time. But, hopefully there's some suggestions for her.
And we've got Alicia from Dunn's Creek on the line. Hi, Alicia. How can we help you?
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, fine.
Oh, wonderful. I have two beautiful rabbits and I only know them as floppy-eared rabbits.
Okay.
And they've got the big chins.
Yes.
I have been concerned the last week that they might have the...
Myxomatosis.
Myxomatosis. Thank you. Yes. And I stumble on that word every time. I can say it in my head.
Oh, good.
One of the rabbits, I looked up the symptoms and they don't have a lot of the symptoms, but I do worry about one of the rabbits' eyes.
Okay.
They're both girls. She seems to have bigger eyes than the other rabbit and a lot of white showing down the bottom, but it's not pussy or moist.
Okay.
But I have noticed in the last couple of months she's been getting quite maybe bitey and chasing the other rabbit.
Yeah.
So then when I checked the other rabbit, I felt there was some scabs on her body or some rough right down one side, but I wasn't sure if that was from like her, the other one biting.
Like fighting with each other.
Yeah, or if it was from myxomatosis.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well pronounced, Alicia. yes, myxomatosis is a virus that we have in Australia and it was released decades and decades ago to help control the wild rabbit population. And that's the reason why we actually can't protect against it in Australia because there was a biological reason why it was introduced in the first place. I guess my comment would be, if your rabbits had sort of these unusual eyes for a period of, did you say weeks or months?
We've noted probably a week or 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, not very long, but then I might not have seen it.
Yeah, it could have been there a bit longer. And are they lethargic? Are they normal appetite and energy levels? Or are there any other concerns?
Normal appetite, normal weight. They're not lethargic. They still move around a little bit. We have the mosquito netting over the
excellent
box proof and everything.
Excellent.
That's what I was sort of thinking. Well, it can't sort of be, but then I do open it up, so there could be a chance of mosquitoes getting in there and different things.
But, yeah, okay. I mean, you're spot on with protecting against mosquitoes because they certainly transmit the myxomatosis. I think the signs aren't obviously myxomatosis, Alicia, but I also can't rule it out, okay?
Yeah,
gotcha. Rabbits' eyes and the molar teeth can end up actually being interrelated a little bit. So if you've got severe dental disease, you can have eye issues and nose issues as well.
Right.
So it possibly actually is a dental issue rather than a virus issue, okay? And the only way you're going to know that is to take the one with the issues to the vet for them to have a look at the teeth.
I was trying to look at the front teeth last night just because I was giving her a cuddle and she wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, and look, Alicia, it's normally the molar teeth that are the problem rather than the front ones that you can see. So examining them is not something that I would expect owners to be able to do at home at all. I think a general health check would be a really sensible thing to do, Alicia, for a number of purposes. You're going to know what the teeth look like. You're going to know if they're a problem. We might have tear duct issues. We could have skin issues. There could be something else going on. Hopefully it's not myxomatosis because that doesn't tend to go well for the rabbits. But I think booking in a health check with your local vet that's comfortable with rabbits is going to be your best option.
With one biting the other.
Yes.
Do they snuggle together at night still, or when they're a bit cooler, they snuggle together?
Yeah.
Is it okay to separate them but put them next to each other, like just have something that separates them, or will they miss each other?
I think if you can separate them but they can also still see each other, you're potentially addressing the issue quite well, is that they can still sidle up to each other but not inflict any any damage.
She's a calmer one.
Try that, and best of luck, Alicia.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
No problem. Have a good day.
Good day. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, Alicia. And we've got Gail from Tallara on the line. Hi, Gail. Can you let us know what your issue is?
Yes. My cat died on Monday night.
Oh, Gail, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he got sick Friday afternoon. He was vomiting and then he just lost all interest in food and he wasn't weeing or pooing.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything that could have been, and then I remembered on Thursday night he came up to me. I bent down to pat him and I just had a vape.
Okay.
And I breathed it onto him and I just wondering, could that have been the cause?
Oh, Gail, you poor thing. Tell me more about your cat. How old was your cat?
He was 6.
Okay.
He was a gentle giant. He was part ragdoll, and a lot of people have been saying he had Maine Coon in him as well.
Okay. And if you think back over sort of the couple of days before he passed away, you've mentioned he sort of wasn't toileting, and what else changed? Anything, any other symptoms you had noticed?
No, he's just sleeping a lot, just sitting and staring outside.
Any change in his water consumption or his urination at all?
He would not. I had to force him, just give him eyedroppers of water every, sometimes every hour.
Okay.
But he was biting and he was fighting me all the time for it.
You poor thing, Gail.
He had nothing whatsoever to do with his favourite treats. It just wasn't him.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad, Gail. Look, to put your mind at ease, I do not think you breathing on the cat killed the cat.
Mm.
Okay. And in that sort of situation, without a post-mortem, you'll probably never know what happened. With the ragdoll, Maine Coon breeding in him, both of those breeds can have unrecognized heart disease that can not necessarily be present or obvious. But without any, I couldn't tell you what happened, Gail, but I can put your mind at ease that it was not you that did anything wrong.
Well, I'd hate to think anything. You know, we've just been so close. You know, just him and me at home, and
that's so really sad, Gail, and to lose him when he is so young too. But I guess the least I can offer you, hopefully, is peace of mind that it wasn't anything you did.
Well, thank you so much. I was worried it was that.
Yeah, take care of yourself, Gail.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Gail. Next on the line we have Tina from The Entrance. Hi, Tina, how can we help?
Hi, I've got a German Spitz. He's 15 months old.
Yes.
He has frozen chicken necks. He likes to have little frozen cuties probably twice a day. But with his dry food, he's on Royal Canine.
Yeah.
He barely touches it unless I sort of throw it on the ground, and he might pick up a few pieces through the day. I'm just wondering if I should change him to some other wet food or something.
Okay. All right. So let me just get it in my head, Tina. So he gets chicken necks and you try and give him dry food.
Yeah.
What else do you give him?
He has frozen cucumbers, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and he also has a greenie in the morning.
Yep.
And he might have a bit of apple, or he might have carrot, but he only eats the carrot when it goes brown.
Okay. Go figure. He won't eat dry food, but he likes brown carrots.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, and how many chicken necks are you giving him per day?
He'll probably have 3 or 4 chicken necks.
Okay. And when you say frozen cucumbers, like normal size ones, baby cucumbers?
The baby ones.
Baby ones, okay. And do you know recently, have you been to the vet? Has your vet commented on the dog's weight? Is it overweight, underweight, good weight?
No. He's a fine, good weight. He went to the vets, had his injections a couple of months ago, and he said everything was perfect.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, that's really good. All righty. So I guess a couple of things could be going on here. The chicken necks, obviously, and the carrot, the cucumber, he just likes more. It's as simple as that. But just like when the kids want ice cream instead of spaghetti bolognese, that doesn't cut it. So what we have to do is make, if you would like to do dry food, which is really quick and convenient for owners because it's nutritionally balanced, we have to make the dry food more exciting. Okay.
Right.
Now, whether that's adding a little bit of wet food to flavour it a little bit, that's often quite successful. Whether you withhold the chicken necks for 24 hours just to see if he's just that little bit more hungry, and then try the dry food mixed with the wet food. If it makes you feel any better, my adopted greyhound will not eat dry food on its own. So I'm one of those owners that mixes wet food with the dry food to make the dog eat the dog food.
Right. Okay. Perfect with everything else, and just making sure he gets the right nutrition.
Yeah, and look, you're spot on. Chicken necks are not really balanced.
Yeah,
they're going to be great for his teeth.
Right.
But we do want to be introducing some more nutritionally balanced food. So I'd be trying to mix maybe some wet food or, if you think of the tuna and spring water, adding a little bit of that water to the dry food, that sort of thing, just to flavour it and make it a little bit more exciting. And fingers crossed, that's the start of sort of moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, best.
He's a nice dog, but it's just, he won't eat his dry kibble properly.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, best of luck. I think he's certainly young enough. I would definitely encourage you to persist.
Yep.
Try a different brand of dry food if you want. I'd stick with it, definitely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tina.
All the best. And in the meantime, we're going to talk about diabetes for dogs and cats.
Yeah, absolutely. So diabetes is a condition that our dogs and cats can get. There are some risk factors which make some animals more predisposed to others. Overweight pets, pets with thyroid disease, pets with Cushing's disease, and one that we see less commonly these days because we don't use them as much, but animals that have been on long-term steroid medication are also at an increased risk of diabetes. So what happens with diabetes is the pancreas doesn't produce enough insulin, and insulin is needed to convert the sugar that you eat and takes that sugar and sends it into the cells for energy. And if there's not enough insulin, then the blood sugar can't get into the cells and it stays in the bloodstream. And then you get really high blood sugar, and that can often, that causes some of the signs that we often see initially, which is increased drinking and increased weeing. So if your body can't use the glucose for energy, instead it starts using muscle for energy and creates some byproducts that can make our animals really, really sick. And often animals will present to the vets with what's called diabetic ketoacidosis, which is where your body is using muscle as a source of energy instead of fats and sugars as a source of energy.
So what happens to the muscle?
You'll often see animals that have got wasting of the muscle, so they look a bit thinner and a bit more in poorer condition, often lose some muscle mass. In terms of treating diabetes, people can often, I think, as a first line of treatment, go on tablet medication for diabetes. That doesn't happen for pets, for cats and dogs. We do need insulin. So diet, we don't treat with diet as such, but having a slow release carbohydrate as an energy source is really important. So think porridge or whole wheat instead of, in people instead of rice bubbles, that sort of thing. So making sure that we're feeding them appropriately. So insulin injections are what's required for treatment. So we can either have once a day or twice a day injections. But there is actually a really new and really exciting cat product that's been released in Australia only in the last couple of months, which is a once daily liquid for treating diabetes. So that's pretty exciting and pretty revolutionising for the treatment of diabetes for cats.
So is that you just put it in a bowl for them to drink, or
Either into the mouth or on food?
Right.
So super easy once a day. So that's pretty exciting, and we're all quite excited about that as a new development. Having said that, so your once or twice a day insulin injections are actually really, really well tolerated in pets. Often that's a really big sticking point for owners because they understandably pretty distressed about having to inject their pets, but it's a teeny, 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 tiny needle and the pets tolerate it really well. It can take a while to get your insulin dose correct. It's not just a first dose is going to be the right dose. So there's a lot of partnership and communication required between the vets and the clients to get the pet stable. So to start with, it can be quite a journey getting it right for the pet and getting the pet stable, but they can definitely lead long and happy lives if treated appropriately. So, we definitely can get them right. We definitely can stabilise them. In cats in particular, not so much in dogs, but in cats sometimes if you catch diabetes early and you treat it effectively, they can then go into remission. So they actually don't have diabetes anymore.
That's great.
Which is pretty exciting. Doesn't always happen, but sometimes we can get lucky. So that's an added bonus for our cats with diabetes. So signs you can see with either too much insulin or too little insulin. So if we give a pet too much insulin, their blood sugar goes really low, and that can be quite dangerous. So we'll often see weakness or seizures, or they look a bit uncoordinated when they walk a bit wonky. If we don't give enough insulin, then we have really high levels of glucose in the blood, and then we can see this condition that we talked about where you get diabetic ketoacidosis, where, again, they can be really lethargic, they can drink a lot, they can be very weak. So that also can be life-threatening. So too high or too low is not good. Complications that we can sometimes get with diabetes, cataracts are a really common one. Our pets can get cataracts just like us. UTIs, so urinary tract infections, if the diabetes isn't well treated, we end up with lots of glucose in the urine. And if you have lots of glucose in the urine, you're predisposed to a UTI. But yeah, I guess the bottom line is it's definitely treatable. It's definitely manageable. Lots of pets live long and happy lives with diabetes, but it does come with a large amount of effort and responsibility on the pet owner.
Okay. This is Pet Chat on 2NURFM, and we've got a few more minutes left. We're going to look at our pet of the week. And if you go to our website, 2NURFM.com.au, and click on the lifestyle programs, you'll find Pet Chat, and then you'll find our pet of the week, or pets of the week. This time we've got Milo and Dorothy. And we'll start with Milo, Jack Russell Terrier Cross.
He is simply scrumptious looking. He's absolutely adorable. Jack Russell Terrier Cross, 1 year old, is described as superstar with legs for days and energy to match. So he definitely fits that Jack Russell criteria, high energy, high activity, clever, smart, lots of personality. So, yeah, he's obviously 1 year old, so still young, lots of opportunity to mould him to be what would be good for your fit for your family. Mm. Still need some training, as you would expect with a one-year-old rescue. Yeah, loves his food, loves his play, would be a great match for a family with lots of energy and understanding that the dog still needs, you know, has high energy levels but wants to be part of your family, and to continue his training. He looks like a real good match for someone, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, oh, Dorothy, she's stunning.
Yes.
She's our cat.
Yes, I think she's taken your heart, Amanda. She has. Is there space in your life for another cat?
Unfortunately, I don't think Tiffany Two Socks McCreed would be very happy if we brought another cat home.
Fair enough. No, Dorothy's adorable looking. Middle-aged, six-year-old silver tabby. So middle-aged, plenty of life left, but also probably lost that really high energy, high cheekiness of a kitten. Social and smoochy, loves affection, will happily be a lap cat, I suspect. So if you're after a cat that wants to be on your lap, she's the one. And it sounds like she had a bit of a rough start. Mm-hmm. She came into care being severely underweight, but has had some dedication and love from her foster team. So that's been fantastic. And it sounds like she's definitely ready to meet the next family, her forever family. But yeah, she personality and personality wise, and to look at a photo of her, she's gorgeous.
She's beautiful. Yeah. Mm, yeah. I'm smitten with Dorothy.
Mm, yes. Yeah. Very cute. And, you know, as you'd fully expect with a cat, you know, slow and gentle introductions with family members, but yeah, she's described as fitting most homes. She just hasn't been tested with dogs or other cats, but I'm sure with time and gentle introduction, she'd be fine.
She'll be fine, yes. And if you want to check those out, 2NURFM.com.au is the website to go to. And Dr. Fiona Giblin, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Amanda.
We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, I'll be back.
Excellent. 2NURFM 103.7.